Living Faith with Father Richard Umbers.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and grace to make these moments of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Last Sunday, in the first reading, we see Moses in search of one of his flock, and he comes across that burning bush. And Yahweh reveals himself to Moses personally, with his name, indicating his nature. I am who am. A name that in some way cloaks itself, but which also indicates that God is near his people, I am with you, but which also points to God as the foundation of all that is, and we participate in his being. But he intervenes, this I am who am, in the life of that people who were considered by the Egyptians to be a race of slaves. And leading the way, Moses takes them to the desert, where they will live by a code that embraces the entire life of that people. And they are led there so that they be a source of salvation for all peoples, that they might worship the true God, I am who am, and so find fulfillment. And the same is true for our own life. We come, Lord, before you. We spend time with you. Personally, you who have revealed yourself to us in Jesus Christ. God become a man. How crazy. Not only to have created freely, but to have become one of us. When you speak with people who are of the Islamic faith, they find it outrageous even to mention the concept of incarnation. That the all-powerful God would stoop to become a human being, enter into creation. How much crazier then, Lord, to have you with us in the tabernacle, not as a symbol, but as reality, hidden under the appearances of bread, a continual marvel. We are always being asked to make acts of faith as we step into the church. We're confronting. But we see, Lord, from you who are simplicity itself, your being is your knowing, is your willing. All perfections come from this being, this subsistent act of being, in one simple act. And we too are called by you, Lord, to live a Christian life. And in that way, when we enter into our own spiritual desert through Lent, through denial, we live by a code that embraces our whole life, the calling that you have made to us, Lord, and we follow after you with all the consequences that come with following after you, which means carrying the cross, which means sacrifice. And so walking the way of love. A sacrifice that's not sad. A carrying of the cross which is cheerful, redemptive, freely undertaken in the service of others. As you go, Lord, to the cross freely to show that you love, even though it can mean crucifixion. You love us that much. And we, in our turn, take up that cross of each day with joy, following after you. San Jose Maria Escrivá would write on many occasions as a reminder for people, no day without the cross, but with joy, in joy, in letizia. Because the cross is a means for redemption. And when we make that sacrifice ourselves, when we live unity of life, when we live that calling you make to each one of us, Lord, to follow after you, and it embraces our entire life, we then become an instrument for others. To get to know God, and in that way, to find fulfillment. When we are faithful to the call that is made to each one of us down to the last consequences of that calling, when we exercise in that way faith, not in name only, but with our lives. And that is the witness, Lord, that you ask of us to give to all those around us. That is how people are attracted to follow. I don't know why people organize meetings. And they dedicate their lives to organizing meetings. And they seem to be organizing ever-decreasing circles. Why do people organize pastoral plans? It's beyond me. Who remembers the pastoral plan of 1980? Was it even any put into effect? I don't know, perhaps a bit, but did it really bring anybody? Because a committee got together and said you should go to church? People want life. They want witness. They want faith. And when we follow after you, Lord, with all our defects, we give them that faith. We believe. We hope. We love. We live with that priestly soul. All of us have a priestly soul. We are a chosen race, a chosen people, so that we bring others with that participation in your priesthood, which is common to all the baptized. And a priestly soul is to never say, look, I've done enough for the day. That's it. I've reached my quota of good deeds, of availability. Quite often, if we have been working from early in the morning to late at night, you know, we tend to want to knock off. Okay, well, that's it for the day. We go home and, well, you know, okay, put my feet up, turn on the television, have a beverage. And it's true, we need to rest. But no, that's not what you ask of us, Lord. That's not following after you. Lord, you would heal people until late at night. And then you'd be up again the next morning in a lonely place praying. We can never say, well, I'm off work now, in terms of charity, in terms of our love for you, Lord. We don't go on holiday in our interior life. Because when we go home, we have the other members of our family And they have their needs, and we have to keep giving. And above all, we continually live in your presence, Lord, and we live by your power who hold us in being. We can't take a break from love. Imagine if your spouse was to say to you, look, I've been loving you for 90% of the week. Now give me 10% just to myself. And I said, hey, what are you talking about? You know, it's... Well, neither can we do that for God. Sometimes people say, look, go to Mass, it's just 1 hour in the week. Such a small thing to give to God. What are you talking about? You've got to give your whole life to God. Everything to God. I mean, 1 hour in the week. I give everything. That's how it has to be for each one of us. That doesn't mean that we don't do normal activities like everybody else. But what it does mean is that we consecrate all that we do to you, Lord. We live as a Christian always and everywhere, not just when we're at church, although it's also good to be a Christian at church. But when we are at a party, when we are called upon to give our opinion in some area, it could be politics, it could be people at work, and we don't indulge in gossip, and we speak about others in a charitable way, and we don't judge intentions, and we express our faith, and we live with a supernatural outlook, and we pray, and people will mention so many things in the life of the church, and we don't look with an indifferent gaze at the problems that we encounter. We pray. We genuinely pray for people and for events. We co-redeem, Lord, with you, who give yourself up freely with an obedience to the will of God, seen even unto death on the cross. That's what we will say during Holy Week, especially on Good Friday. Christ was obedient unto death on a cross. And for that reason, God has given him a name that is above all other names. We are to adore you, Lord, on our knees. Sometimes people can be a little bit even scandalized when they see us living out our Christian life with all its demands. But that is precisely the witness that we have to give to the world, not so much with long theories, but with a smile, living the faith, obedient to the teachings of the church, which are the teachings of Jesus Christ, preserved for us, elaborated for us, and to the help of the Holy Spirit, the charism of the Holy Spirit given to the magisterium. At times, because we're all weak and we all sin, there may be the odd Pharisee here or there. Although, if we know ourselves a little bit, we'll see the Pharisees in each one of us. You know, when we start to point the finger at things, we have to point it at ourselves. We're the ones who have to be first on watch to see whether we are making use of your name, Lord, for our own miserly benefit. But it can happen, and you say, Lord, look, you know, there are certain Pharisees that you shouldn't follow their example, but you do have to listen to what they say because they sit in the chair of Moses. And we need to give that example of an entirely integral Christian life in all respects, especially in what concerns openness to life, which means respecting human life from conception to natural death, which means respecting the laws that we discover in our own bodies, placed there by the Creator, using natural means for the human body to come about, but which supports an immortal soul And our immortal soul makes our body to be a human body. Our actions carry the weight of eternity with them. We are persons in the world, but we live always with that respect that goes in accordance with being a person, and we respect other people also as persons. Fully convinced of the teaching of the church in the area of human sexuality and living that integrally. Living a chaste life, which for a married couple means being open to life. And for those of us who are not married, it means total abstinence in this area. Giving our hearts, Lord, to you with prayer and with sacrifice, filled with a very personal relationship with you, Lord, and it's entirely possible. We know, all of us, whatever our situation, single or married, the big problem is selfishness. And last, which is prevalent because we have a disordered nature, above all, you know, to give in this area is to give way to selfishness. It's to lose a supernatural outlook, and it comes about when people forget to pray, when they forget to really make those little sacrifices every day. And that's why Lent is so helpful. Have we made some concrete act of self-denial this Lent? So that we open up that space, Lord, to spend time with you, to love you, to remember you. And through that sacrifice, to unite ourselves, Lord, to you in this very small way. But to co-redeem with deeds. So that Lent makes real this following after you, Lord, in this way. We participate, we share in your suffering. Albeit in a very, very small way, a very token way. But we notice it. And love leads us to that. It has its own logic. And we live a more upright life with an example that we have to give to others. How eager people are to spot signs of hypocrisy. And on the contrary, when we live a life of integrity, when we live unity of life, albeit with all our defects, but they see we're making a genuine effort. It moves souls. They cannot help but ask themselves questions. Why do you, amongst all these other people, live in this way? Why are you, amongst all these other people, happy? Why are you filled with joy? And that's the main example that we have to give to others, especially at home. We cannot be cranky. We cannot allow ourselves to start complaining about this and the other, and why has this bishop not done this, and why did that priest not say that, and how come these people at church are always... No, we zip our mouth. It's not that we're blind to the fact that things are not always well, but rather we give witness to the joy of being a follower of Jesus Christ. And in that way, people say, look, you know, that thing that you've got, I want it too. What do I have to do? And then we encourage people, look, live the Ten Commandments, as John the Baptist would say. He gave an example of being tough on himself. But then when people came to him and said, well, what do we have to do to be saved? He'd say, look, you know, just don't be dishonest. Don't exploit people. To the soldiers, to the tax collectors, you know, well, just charge what you're supposed to. To the women of the night, well, stop going out at night. I don't know, it was different things, but just do what you should. And that was a beginning, it was a foundation. We would do well to take that to heart ourselves. You know, in our own dealings, we have to be 100% genuine, honest. But then, taking on board that desire to co-redeem, we also have to be humble. Humility is very attractive. Pride can lead us to do extraordinary penances or some amazing example, but it would lead us to actions that the people could perhaps admire from afar, but they would keep their distance from us. We need to be humble, very humble. And if we're humble, we'll realize that when others show themselves with their defects, that, well, we have defects too. And if we depend upon so many people being tolerant with us and with our defects and putting up with us, then we have to be so much more understanding with the defects of others and put up with theirs. Not to be touchy. And if we feel ourselves hurt for whatever reason, we have to respond with fortitude, because they are silly things that the devil makes use of in order to get us to lose our peace and our joy. And if we find ourselves complaining, it could well be that we really are not following after you, Lord. That we're not genuinely seeking the cross in our life. If the pinpricks of each day upset us. And we all have our soft points. You know, when the internet is running at a very slow pace and our electronic contraptions are not working as they should, you know, how frustrated do we get? This applies more to Sydney than Canberra, but, you know, when you get cut off in the traffic. The more I fulfill the duty of each moment out of love for you, Lord, in what looks to be important, but also in what looks to be unimportant. This is a real test. You know, am I doing all that I have at hand out of love for you, Lord? And in which case, even the little details will be done well. When I get out of bed in the morning and I make my bed and do a good job of it. Not because anyone will see, but because you will see, Lord. It's done for love of you. Maybe it takes an extra 30 seconds, but we do a good job of making our bed. And there is a wonderful act of love at the very start of the day. Because I unite everything of my day to the Mass. All that work, I take it to the offertory, I put it on the paten. I unite it to your sacrifice, Lord, which is offered to the Father. I am not working to satisfy my ego or that people should admire my handiwork. In that way, I would not be drawing them closer to you, Lord. I'd be repelling them with my egotism, my pride. But in the midst of my work, I will be professionally competent and I will have a prestige that comes with being someone who does what they say they will do. And that means I won't work in a sloppy way, because I cannot sanctify sloppy work. Garbage in is garbage out. I remember the story of a fellow from another country, on the other side of the world, who was a painter. And he was very cheap. There's a good reason why he was cheap, and that's why people would employ him. But because he had a very unorthodox painting style. Essentially, when he painted a room, he wouldn't shift any of the furniture or paintings. He'd just paint around them. And so it would save him paint and time. And people, if you asked him, well, why are you not, you know, sort of doing the whole thing properly? He said, well, but just think about it. After 3 months, the sun will be beating down on these particular paintings and that furniture, and then the paint will be a little bit different anyway. So it's going to look discolored. So we'll just go ahead and do it. Anyway, he was cheap. But then he started to, you know, he employed one of the young persons from that centre of Opus Dei where he'd been painting. And he realised after a very quick period of time that this young person was there, you know, taking too long, because he was painting underneath as well as on top, different things. And he said, look, you're not working for Jose Maria Escriva anymore. You're working for me, Shonky. Do a Shonky job. Sometimes we have to do a Shonky job. There's just no time, and we can't be perfectionists. But then we'd really have to sanctify the Shonky, you know, as best we can. But in the end, it's about attention to detail out of love. And we notice when someone loves, that the little details, you know, when someone gives you a kiss goodbye, it could even be just, you know, a look, but there's a recognition there, and it means the world. And we ourselves, when we go into a room in our home and we have a picture there of Our Lady, and we look straight away at that picture of Our Lady, in a very natural way, we don't say it, a little aspiration in our heart, but that's love. And it passes unnoticed for the great majority of people, but that's unity of life. You know, we're always in your presence, Lord. And when we're at a party and we're doing things, now, you know, okay, sure, maybe it's on. On the expenses of the company or whatever it might be, you know, and everyone else is just hoeing in. No, we eat the same as if we were at home. It was very nice, thank you. It was one drink, maybe two. But that's it, that we wouldn't have more. Everyone else is getting into it, and that's the example that we have to give to others. Oh, but it's free, it's, you know, it's abundant, just take. And, well, I wouldn't do it at home, I wouldn't do it here. And in my work, and when the pressure is on at work to cut corners and no one needs to know about this, just sign here and put it over there. No, fidelity, complete fidelity to whatever the professional code of conduct happens to be. Look, without being a stickler, I understand. Sometimes, you know, you have to apply what's called epikeia. You know, it's not like the person who got stuck at the lights and waited there for 7 hours because the lights had broken. So, no, I can't run a red light. I mean, it's just lack of common sense. But, you know, when people are trying to run two books of different things and, you know, well, everyone does it and it's a bit of bribery here and there. And you think, No, we're upright. We're Christians. And perhaps sometimes when people think that you can do away with charity but for the reasons of being competitive, no, we can never dispense with charity. Not even for reasons of efficiency or because you're in charge. Unity of life. A Christian always and everywhere. And it requires a fortitude that you show us, Lord, on so many occasions, a fortitude above all of enduring, which we see during Holy Week, but a fortitude that you would also exercise, Lord, in the temple when you cleansed it from those money changers. At times we too have to act with that same fortitude when, you know, more important goods are at stake. Certainly in the family. You know, that unity of life as a Christian doesn't mean being a goody-two-shoes. It doesn't mean being nice. It means being a saint. And for the good of other souls, at times we have to act with determination and we have to be unpopular. And we have to raise our voice, not because we're angry. We never raise our voice when we're angry. When we raise our voice, when we shout, it's because we've considered it well beforehand. And we realize, no, now I need to shout. Now I need to kick up a stink. Not because I feel like it, but because it's what the situation requires. Look, those things will happen very rarely, but sometimes it's required. And we do so. And we speak out publicly too, when necessary. Look, John the Baptist got his head cut off for doing so. Think about him sometimes. But we too need at the very least to be like Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea when they came, Lord, to you to take a hold of your body and to give you a proper burial, even though at that stage you were very unpopular, Lord. They did not let that hold them back. They did what was noble. They did what was right. And that's unity of life in our public conduct, even when it's unpopular. We act always in accordance with our beliefs. We ask Our Lady who had perfect command of what it meant to be a follower after you, Lord. Because we see her in a very humble way, in a very quiet way, but we see her present. At the foot of the cross, when the apostles have all fled, some wag joked that that was the first act of episcopal collegiality, you know, running away from our Lord. But there, Our Lady is present at the foot of that cross. She gives witness because she loves. She has you, Lord, in her sight. We too, if we pray, if we really seek after you, Lord, we will be there as the beloved disciple was, by the side of Our Lady at the foot of the cross.
That was Living Faith with Father Richard Umbers. For more, go to cradio.org.au.